Your padded feet tread across freshly fallen leaves, enjoying the texture beneath. The air is cool, welcoming, the farm familiar. Everything is perfect, except that there are things you must do. Your form exquisite, swift, and comfortable even in the cool air. Your body's naturally fairly warm, especially when you've been napping. So, your ears turn to catch any incoming sound, and you hear the bustle of the late harvest. The goal is to get everything out of the ground, because the cooling air here at Lakeside Farm and the falling leaves bespeak a winter to come. The outbuildings are stocked with crops. Things are being preserved, dried, prepared. Warming soups are the norm, often with cream. The woods around the farm have noticeably begun to turn their leaves, though seasons are less clear in this place. Because right across the lake from the farm, you know there's a patch with an eternal summer's day. Things are never quite so simple. You know because you're inclined to lay in the sun over there from time to time, stretching your body, swishing your tail, moving your ears to let the rays of light from above warm your hair, the nape of your neck. Your body at peace, and you think of it now. But your nimble form moves easily, and you could go over there. You make a game of gently leaping from clear patch to clear patch among the fallen leaves, just because you can. But today, sadly, lying in the sun across the lake is unavailable to you. You have to help out. You glance at the wooden fence which encloses the entire farm, its many outbuildings, including the bathhouse, and yes, the barns stocked with preserves. You go over there later and fill your pouch. They don't mind you doing so. Well, you do have to help out, though. You've attached yourself, at least loosely, to this farm as a kind of assistant and bodyguard when the mood strikes. You get the sense they don't quite like their current security, but they're stuck with him, too. Well, you're here partly because this is an opportunity to be around beautiful women, like the cowgirls. Partly because they feed you and let you sock away some extra rations for when you leave. You don't know where your wandering paws will take you after this. But no way you'll get too attached. You'll get everything you can out of this place, and then go before you've overstayed your welcome. Today, the mission is to gather medicinal herbs in the forest before the first real frost takes them out. They know better than to send you alone. You wouldn't know what you're looking for, and when you come to the perimeter fence, you'd have left and gone to lay down somewhere. Instead, you take up station by the main gate. Specifically, you let yourself curl up in the warm lee of the sign, where it is lit by rays of sunlight that have made it through the overcast. In fact, the sky is clearing. This is going to be a warm day after all. The leaves falling all around. Your body is at ease on the clean grass. In the distance, you see one of the centaurs running around the perimeter fence. There's a whole herd here. Her breasts are exposed and glorious. They serve as scouts for one of the other centaurs who has a bow. That's all you really know about the security here. You didn't like the smell of the archery range at the back of the farm, so you stayed away from that place. They wouldn't send you into the woods on your own, though. They know full well you'd go have fun somewhere else, so one of the cowgirls has been assigned. You're her escort, really. You'll have no trouble keeping her safe against things in this forest. Your claws are sharp and your senses sharper. But it was still such a bother to have to do something like real work. Get up. The voice is refined and insistent. You look up and keep looking up. The raven-haired cowgirl is very tall, with pointed ears indicating elven heritage. She has four small nipples on each breast. You know this despite the fact she has a loose cloth tunic barely hiding them. They are each larger than your head. Nothing impressive by cowgirl standards, but from your comfortable position on the grass you get a great view. And you know what they look like underneath anyway. She is also the least willing of the cowgirls to goof around. No wonder they sent her with you. Come, we must not stay out after dark. She's very quick, beginning to walk down the forest path away from the gates. You ask whether she can't find herbs in the dark, noting your own perfect night vision. It is not what we will find, but what will find us. She's treading ahead of you, under the eaves of the forest, leaving the well-lit safety of the farm's many buildings behind you. You have to move quickly to keep up, but moving quickly is easy for you. You ask her whether a few tentacle beasts or a rogue goblin worries her, telling her you can handle them. You're confident, but this is actually true. No, worse things come with the change of season in these woods, the reason the plants are going to sleep. Ghosts, monsters, older things. You pause on the trail at that. You probably can't scratch a ghost. You see the girl, Nikki, turn her head to look over her shoulder, smiling. You note the slight gap between her front teeth and the not entirely kind nature of the smile. Are you scared, then? I could go get another guard. You scoff at that and speed up, moving next to her. She couldn't outpace you if she tried, and nothing can hide from your senses. The air is still warm in the early afternoon sunlight. Yes, everything is fine. She pauses and checks under a tree. A cloth bag, unfolded from a pouch at her waist, above a black skirt of rough cotton. Between the barely there tunic and the black skirt, she's almost pulling off the sexy librarian look. It gets even better when she pulls a tiny pair of nose-seated spectacles out of the other pocket, puts them on, and begins turning over leaves on the ground-level plants at a rapid clip. Something about this forest causes the occasional plant to be completely pure. I believe it's the proximity of the lake. No corruption, no poisons, but just the rare plant, which can be carefully extracted. There is land on the farm which is the same, uncorrupted. Make a garden there, and you can grow pure plants, things which will cleanse the impurities of this place, at least with my skills. She ultimately doesn't find what she's looking for in the first patch of plants, and transitions to another. Here, like this. She shows you how one of the plants in the next patch has silver lines on the underside of its leaves, glowing from within. These used to be everywhere, but the imps torched them. I want to repopulate the place with them in order to reduce overall corruption. Now she's like a teacher giving a lecture. You yawn deliberately, but it's not like you can tune her out. You need full awareness of your surroundings in order to be comfortable. Nothing is even close to you. This part of the forest is cooler than the others, less suitable for sex or for fighting, so people are avoiding it. She notices the yawn, and she scowls. It is in your own best interest that a source of purity be found. Corruption isn't really good for you, though I wonder if you're lost to the corruption of indolence already. She does seem to know a few things. You'll have to see what useful information you can get out of her before you move on. Someday. But for now, you're playing bodyguard. She's gathered a few handfuls of herbal treasure off the forest floor when she steps off the path. You tell her to stop, that this forest shifts and changes, You can't guarantee that you'll find the way back before dark if the two of you leave. She scoffs. With you to protect me. Surely you can do your job. For once. And off she goes. She doesn't walk into any bushes. She just seems to slip between them and vanish. But you can still hear her, still smell her sweet scent, still detect her movement. So you shadow her, staying 10 feet back and keeping your eyes on her. Once you get her back in sight. It grows dim here, but that's no problem for you. Still, you wonder how she's moving like that without cat senses and without your nimble limbs. Here it is more shadowed. You see perfectly. But you no longer feel warm sun on your back. Now it is the heady scents and vapors of the forest around which soak into you. You still feel relaxed, but in a different way. Still, if she tells on you for slacking off, you'll have trouble when you get back. Naps are not allowed for now. She's on her hands and knees, sitting in the plants. You admire the way the severe black skirt is tight around her rear. Her breasts hang below her. She's on hands and knees now. Her chest almost touches the ground. In fact, it does as she lays flat. Puts her long ear level to the forest floor. This way. She's up, adjusting her dark hair by pulling it into a tight, high ponytail. The maneuver is very precise. You notice her long fingers, and not for the first time. Then, all of the cowgirls come to mind, because you're comparing her. She's the one you probably have the least chance of bedding. The little redhead is always up for a romp after work. The blonde is so beautiful she's hard to approach, but you get the sense she likes her fun. The brunette tends to giggle and run off, but she won't always. But this one, if looks could kill, you'd be some kind of extra concentrated ghost by now. Speaking of ghosts, you could believe they were real in this place. The air is still shot through with the occasional shaft of light that infiltrates the forest canopy. It has a mystic feeling to it. You ask what she's doing. Looking for the most dangerous herb we'll gather today. She turns and looks over her shoulder once more. Eyes, green in this light, though they seem to change. And of course, eye color may be easily changed by transformative objects, but the green is a bit too like your own for comfort. The green of a cat's eye glaring at prey. She turns back to her business, rooting in the leaves, and moves some aside off a larger stone. Ah, there we are. The stone seems to have had writing on it once, but it is worn into illegibility now. Plus, out here in the forest, there's no guarantee that you'd recognize the language. She brushes more leaves aside. There is a patch of green, luscious plant life all around the stone. She's not kneeling on it, though. Creeper Fen. You know those tentacle monsters? She adjusts her glasses. You see a beam of light flash off them, and the opaque look of them hides her eyes. Her breasts bounce at the movement she made, though, and thus it looks slightly less intimidating, or perhaps more, given her level of confidence. Tentacle creatures come from this, she explains. She approaches you slowly, but then with a burst of speed. This isn't typical of a cowgirl. What is she really? You don't have time to reflect before she grabs your wrists, leans in until her luscious lips are right by your ear. Her skin is pale and smells of spices. She further explains. It only grows on graves. You don't have time to think of struggling. She's not faster than you, but she is stronger. And now that she has you by surprise, you can't squirm. You feel yourself floating, lifted off your feet by your hands, and then gently laid on the ground, right on top of a bed of luscious green plants, like tangled vines. They feel warm, soothing, and suddenly they wrap around your upper arms, your legs, your forearms. She lays your head on that cool stone you saw, but folds up a cloth and puts it under you, padding. Wait, a cloth? Yes. Can't have you hitting your head, you see. You can't normally pick this stuff, but if you give it someone to focus on, it allows it. Anyway, it'll get going in a few minutes. I better get you ready. Do not attempt to struggle. Oh, her massive breasts have come free because she removed her tunic in one movement and folded it up to serve as your pillow. You pull against the vines, but the bed of plants holds you tight to the forest floor. You see her breasts, magnificent in the dim forest light, four little nipples on the tip of each, the tips dappled with milk. She has her arms seductively raised, undoing her hair and letting it fall just past her shoulders once more. She smiles down at you, a broad, teasing grin, as she leans over your body. Her breasts press against your face briefly, and your rigid cock is pressing against the inside of your comfortable shorts. You can't help it. Her voice is officious and precise. She brings a chill down your spine, but the experience is invigorating. She's straddling your legs now, leaning over you, so her breasts are free in the air, pressing your face now and then. Tiny nipples pointed so hard that you can see the pebbly flesh of goosebumps on the areolae. Her delicate hand is incredibly deft, sliding into your shorts. This isn't the red-headed cowgirl's brash strength. This is precision and otherworldly grace. The freed hair moves in a breeze you can swear you don't feel blowing. It seems to float, framing her face. Her body is lithe and strong, and her hands reward your muscles with an appreciative squeeze right next to your cock and its tensed balls, her body arching into you just a little. You're already leaving a little damp mark on your shorts around the tip of your shaft, the skin pulled back from the head as blood rushes to your diminutive hardness. She's whispering in your ear now. Her laugh is a quiet, dry chuckle, followed by, "You know, these can really squeeze you dry. They hunt fluids instinctively. It is a fascinating behavior. And since they respond to pheromonal influence rather than to your words or your struggles, they will necessarily keep going until they're aware that you have released. And those ears and that tail, I'm sure some animalistic change has occurred somewhere. I'm sure this little cock," and she squeezes you, using a surprisingly vulgar word you would have expected her to be more clinical, but she continues, "I'm sure it's emitting some quite strong signals that will arouse the bed enough, and it will invade with pleasure. You will end up wrung dry, your shaft moved, your body squirming." She takes real pleasure in what she's doing now, and you do squirm, and you do move, and you arch into her hand as she grips your cock to get it hard. And then she continues, "But the real pleasure is that they will just keep going until you're all out, until you have been emptied of every sexual fluid, until you have been left in a puddle of your juices and they are fed. And even then they may hold on, nourishing you with forest foods, keeping you here, coming eternally. And who knows what ghost or ghoul or beast might happen upon a poor, otherwise useless figure." She reaches out with a long finger, tapping your nose. "Yes, you have been quite a hindrance, really, encouraging the other girls to engage in lascivious play. Maybe I ought to leave you here where you can get all the satisfaction you want, and you will not slow down our production." She works you, her hand moving, corkscrewing up and down your length, green eyes behind flashing lenses, boring into yours. She's pulled away from your ear. She has the same smile. The vines entangling your arms and legs grow a bit tighter. She begins to stroke you, still inside the warmth of your clothing. The restrictive space poses no challenge to her. The other hand is on your chest, pushing you more firmly into the bed of plants. There are little spider webs painted in black on her long nails. A seasonal affectation, maybe. How does she keep long nails intact as a worker on the farm? Funny you never noticed before. Why would you? Maybe you should pay closer attention. But you do seem to keep ending up in this position. She pulls your shorts out of the way. Cool air hits between your legs where your own pre-cum has made you slick and lubricated. Your shaft glistens in the air, but it is not lonely for long. It easily fits in her hand, so when she closes her fist around your cock, your head is completely hidden, your entire shaft engulfed in her palm. You feel the sparks of pleasure invading you, her promise of what those vines below might do and how she might leave you there, adding a titillating edge to her actions. She's presumably getting you ready. Her hand is making a corkscrew motion still, back and forth, up and down, spiraling around your length and varying pressure now and then. She's kneeling above your legs, which are still restrained by the plants. You feel the pulse of her methodically jerking you off, and you're staring at the magnificent show of her quad-nippled breasts, staring as your balls pull up against the small shaft in her hand. You are as hard as it is possible for you to be. Parts of your brain have no regard for your surroundings, and really this is quite a pretty place, if not for the stone you're laying on and the warm vines constricting you and keeping you bound. They have not touched her. Then again, she seems to really know what she's doing. Your senses are less keen because of how turned on you are. But you know nothing is nearby except you two. Except you and her. The way her breasts sway with each movement of her delicate hand on your length, dripping pre-cum, jumping and churning in her grip. Her movements are captivating and hypnotic, drawing you in. And she just watches. The look on her face is one of professional detachment. She's paying more attention to the plants below you than she is to your length. Her glasses glint in gradually lowering light, and her other hand raises one of her breasts. She leans down and inserts the four tiny nipples on her right breast into your mouth. You do hear her moan for just a moment as you lose sight of your shaft, but she's still stroking you continuously. Then, clearly, she says, "Drink." Her voice is a calm command. And it isn't like you have a choice once the sweet scent of her flesh fills your mind and you suck. The liquid that pours over your tongue is cool, squirting from those four tiny nipples. You're surprisingly warm, given how near her body is and how the vines themselves are warm, and the cooling nature of her milk is also surprising. Are her breasts insulated within? The feeling that follows is flushed exhilaration. It feels right to drink from her and be drawn into her cool, detached voice as she explains. The milk emitted by lactobovines is actually quite addictive in its own right, if consumed regularly and at high volume. Mine is kept weaker due to my low corruption level, a kind of 1%, if you will. Therefore, you'll find yourself quite safe. But this also means I can push more pleasured control into you for this particular session, with no risk. It also means that if you're pining to suckle upon my breast again later, that would be purely psychological, not something I did. But, and she pauses to stroke you a little faster then, but do not underestimate psychology. Your mind is forming pathways associated to what I am doing to you. And if I keep giving you pleasure while you lay here, well, you could start to like being bound. You could start to like being under me. You could start to get hard every time you taste milk like mine. And she pushes her breast more firmly against your face. You feel the flesh against your cheeks, against your lips. You rub your face into it unknowingly, unthinkingly, feeling a throb, throb. Every now and then she uses thumb and forefinger to grip the base of your cock and keep you from coming. But it's a near thing, a difficult thing to resist. She ceases speaking and withdraws. Her skin is utterly without mark, perfect, unblemished. The redhead has freckles, and the brunette is prone to blush. The blonde is perfectly tanned. But Nikki is pale and smooth and rubbing her breasts right into your face. Her hands also perfectly smooth, no calluses, no signs of hard work. She must use her brain more than her muscles, though to judge from how her thighs are squeezing you, she's got plenty of both. The vines will not release the earth without an offering. At least this way you will be useful, she explains. She pulls her breasts away, and you resist the urge to let out a plaintive meow. That would be too far. The milk has flowed into you, though, and had an effect, down your throat into your stomach. In the moment, you feel warm. You just want to submit to her hand, her touch, lay there for her. This place is surprisingly peaceful, after all, even as leaves fall from above, and you become more aware of the gradual darkening toward dusk. Time has a way of moving strangely. Once one is off the path in the forest, we are most fortunate, she says, her hand moving so fast it is a blur, forcing the pleasure into you now, stroke after stroke, her body close, the feel of her, the look of those massive breasts, the aphrodisiac effect of her milk in your system. All of it conspires to make your boundaries very relaxed and your body ready for pleasure. It's hard to tell where the ceaseless stimulation of her hand ends and your own body begins. Sensitivity is increasing, and the softness of the bed of little vines is pervasive. They're very warm. You feel your body shivering at her touch, but it is pleasure. You are warm as can be, even on a mid-autumn day. Her body, the vines, you lay there and passively become more and more relaxed, more and more aroused, as shivers of pleasure invade from between your legs to the rest of you. She never loses her composure. She's not even sweating. Nor is she reacting to the cold beyond the goosebumps on her nipples. Her black skirt is unruffled as she straddles your legs. Your ankles and forearms are bound by the bed of vines. Her little glasses are fogging a little, but they are adjusted by her free hand, pushed upward. She uses her palm to do so, since her fingers are covered in your juices and bits of her milk, but then she wipes them on a handkerchief pulled from a little pouch. The other hand is still working away on you. She's very neat, very precise. She sets the kerchief aside, wrapping it around to put the dirtied part inside, so as to not accidentally touch it. Her every movement is neat, including the way she's jerking you toward rapture. Your body shudders and just observes her breasts, her shoulders, the nape of her neck, her dark hair. You can't take much more of this. The shivers are threatening to transform into spasm. She holds you down with her newly cleaned free hand, keeping you pressed into the warm bed of vines. She notices your stomach tensing, having pulled your shorts down a little more to let your length flop. She releases it. You're quite hard, and the stimulation stops. So hard that your little cock is tensed against your belly. The muscles at the base are taut and ready. You're dripping pre-cum onto your own stomach. She wipes it up with the kerchief and throws it to the plants. They catch it and fold it neatly for her, putting it to the side. Such dears. For once there is affection in her voice when she talks about the plants. She continues her earlier remark. Yes, we were most fortunate that there was a grave here, weren't we? She smiles, all white teeth, a smile almost from ear to ear, unusual on her cold features. She leans down until her mouth is right by your ear again. You know, if we had a second grave, I could plant a bigger patch for next year's harvest. Slowly she undoes her skirt. She slides it off her hips, raising her legs to kick it into the vines. They fold it and set it aside, too. She's wearing a pair of simple black panties. She slides them to the side, revealing her pale vaginal slit and slightly protruding clit. Of course, we do it humanely. You see, I harbor a secret. My body, sadly, is haunted. No one who ever comes inside me survives. She removes her spectacles, handing them to the vines below, which place them on the handkerchief, on the skirt. Now fully naked, she's a gorgeous sight to behold. Her form may once have been thin and blade straight, but it's more curvaceous since the cowgirl transformation. You can tell. Her lower lips are moist, and she rubs your pre-cum on them with her hand, the hand that has ceased stroking you. Then, you feel the vines hold you even more tightly, your head laid on the cool stone. You look for an escape route, but none is forthcoming. While you can feel the stone even through the padding of the tunic, the rest of you is warm. She reaches down to adjust your cock to take the tip and point it inside her. Your hips squirm and a nervous sweat breaks out on your body. You're not sure if it's with terror or eagerness. You don't know if she's telling the truth, but she doesn't seem the type to lie. You feel the tip of you touch her lips. Wetness, warmth, you almost squirt. Abruptly, the stimulation stops. Her hand lets go. She rises and stands up. And that is quite enough. You watch her breasts bounce. Her gorgeous pussy pulls away, leaving you wanting. Your arms are freed by the plants, and you immediately pull away a little. You sit up. You see yourself in her eyes. You see the grin. She must love this look. But you've fallen a long way away from climax. You begin stroking yourself immediately. You'll have to work hard to get there, but you're so turned on. You watch her huge breasts moving side to side, and that helps. She slips the skirt back on. She pulls the tunic away from where it was resting under your head, slides it on as well, picks up her kerchief and spectacles. Then she grabs the vines from below you, which have released your body, and pulls. Like a magician sweeping a tablecloth away, you're left sitting on the ground. The vines are gone, pulled away like a sheet. The dirt under them is cool. You prepare to rise. By the way, that stone is a marker we used to put here to help find our way. It is not a grave at all. There are no graves out here I know of. But your fear and arousal made enough sweat to get these to let go of the ground. It would have been undignified for me to have to do it on my own. You were useful for once. She reaches down to pat your head as she praises you, turning with the little carpet of moving vines. These are actually pure, and therefore I can plant them at the farm in a warm place and be warm all year round. A little bed of nourished plants that will keep other things alive through the winter. Incidentally, my vagina is no more haunted than the average, I am sure. She turns. You would have been fine, but you're not so lucky now, aroused as you are. Better hurry home. You don't want to be out here after dark. But maybe you should take care of that. She points at your erection then, and vanishes onto the path. You have to get off. The arousal's hot and deep in you, and all of her words are remembered. You'll get back at her someday. But your hands move, relentlessly, unceasingly, looking for an orgasm she denied you. Images of her wet pussy, her huge breasts, her teasing smile, they help stir you on your way. You'd tell the management about her when you got back to the farm, but nobody would believe you. A shiver runs down your spine, settles in your stomach, makes you clench. So close. Aggravated and horny, a little cool. And left in privacy to take care of what you need to, and then plan your revenge.